Welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey newsrooms. School is back in session, which means along with new notebooks and backpacks, kids are coming home carrying germs. And they're leaving them behind at stores and restaurants and everywhere else we visit. So you're probably thinking about vaccines. Which ones do you need to get, and how available will they be? There's confusion since the federal government changed its guidance for this season's updated COVID-19 vaccines. And beyond that, the state of Florida went so far as to say they'll discontinue mandating vaccines, any vaccine, for kids going to school. There's lots to unpack here, so let's get started with WWJ's Dan Jenkins speaking with Dr. Natasha Bagdasarian, Chief Medical Executive for the state of Michigan.
You know, the announcements about COVID vaccine have actually been ongoing for the last several weeks. So it started with some language change, with CDC changing some of their language around COVID-19 vaccine recommendations. Last week, there was an FDA label change. However, what I want people to know is that we have reviewed the data. So not only the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, but also the national groups that we work with, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, many, many national groups have been looking at the data on COVID vaccines. And COVID vaccines really continue to show very, very good safety profiles and are effective at preventing those severe consequences of COVID infection, keeping people out of the hospital, keeping people out of the ICU. And so we continue to recommend COVID-19 vaccines. And folks over the age of 6 months can continue to get those COVID-19 vaccines, although this year it could be a little bit more tricky in terms of where you can get those vaccines.
So what are people going to have to do in order to get that vaccine if they don't fall into one of those demographics?
So everyone who is over the age of 6 months should be able to get the vaccine unless they have some, you know, contraindication to the vaccine. Everyone should be able to get the vaccine. Now, the FDA label specifically called out folks who are over the age of 65 or have an underlying medical condition. However, even if you don't have an underlying medical condition, you should still be able to get that COVID vaccine if you want that extra protection. Now, clinicians can still prescribe COVID vaccine or give COVID vaccine even with those FDA label changes. What we're still waiting to sort of see is whether pharmacies are going to offer those vaccines in a comprehensive way, or whether there could be some hurdles if people are trying to get those vaccines at pharmacies. Right now, we've been hearing from pharmacies that they will be getting COVID vaccines in. They are expecting shipments. They are expecting to give these vaccines. However, we'll have to wait and see if there are any obstacles to getting COVID vaccines at pharmacies.
What about at county health departments for children?
At county health departments, again, they should have the vaccines. They have medical directors who can give those vaccines, you know, despite those FDA label changes. And so local health departments are another good place to get those vaccines.
Do you think that there will be any county health departments in Michigan that might strictly follow those FDA recommendations and some people might not be able to get these shots?
It's possible. And that's why I said this year is a little trickier in terms of where do you go to get those COVID vaccines. Again, we are not expecting any major barriers to people getting vaccines, but there may be some inconveniences in terms of where you have to go or some additional hoops you have to jump through to get those vaccines. And we'll know more as those vaccines start hitting the shelves, as they start coming in, and as we continue having conversations with some of our partners.
Are you concerned that this might contribute to the decreasing, I guess, in the vaccine rate of COVID-19 that we've sort of seen this drop off since the pandemic has waned?
I really am. You know, we know that vaccines are, they are really taken by people when it's convenient. There are not a lot of people out there who are willing to jump through many hoops, who are willing to do things like get prescriptions and go to multiple places to get a vaccine. And so I think this very much could impact our vaccination rates. And we could see more people getting sicker from COVID this year as a result. So that is my fear. We know that these vaccines have saved millions of lives. We know that these vaccines have been, you know, just really a huge benefit in terms of freeing up our emergency departments, freeing up our ICUs so that they can take care of the rest of the community's needs. And I am worried that this is going to have not only an impact in terms of obstacles to the COVID vaccine, but will really make people think twice about getting vaccines in general.
So it's safe to say that despite the FDA recommendations, your department, the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, is still recommending this for everybody 6 months and older.
We think that everybody 6 months and older should be able to get this vaccine if they want to. It is definitely, you know, it is of greatest benefit to those who are over the age of 65, to those who are immunocompromised. But we believe that if you are a healthy individual who does not fall into one of those high-risk groups, you should still be able to get the vaccine if you choose to do so.
Excellent. So what are we seeing COVID-wise? I've heard just anecdotally some people are getting it right now. What are we seeing numbers-wise, hospitalization-wise right now in Michigan?
Well, you know, we do tend to see cases go up when kids go back to school. We tend to see a slight uptick in the early fall. And then usually our major numbers of not just COVID, but also influenza, RSV, we tend to see those a little bit later in the season. But this is around the time of year where there was numbers slowly start ticking up. Kids are back in school. They're indoors. We know that sometimes hygiene, personal hygiene, and hand washing in schools can be a challenge for the little ones. And so we do expect to see those numbers go up. And that's why we really believe that anyone who wants that vaccine should be able to get it. And we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that vaccines are accessible here in Michigan.
Excellent. So like you said, it's back to school time. When is the best time to get the flu shot, to get the COVID shot? Because I know a lot of people like to wait until closer to winter, but is now really the best time to get it?
So, you know, in a typical year, we tell people that the best time is sometime in October. You know, the flu vaccines, the COVID vaccines start hitting the shelves usually in September. The best time to get vaccinated is usually in October. You have the best levels of immunity for about the 4 months after you get vaccinated, and that should see you through winter. Because things are so up in the air this year and there have been so many challenges and hurdles and we don't really know what's happening next, this is actually a year where I would tell people just to go ahead and get vaccinated at the earliest opportunity. So if you happen to be at a doctor's appointment in September and they offer you those vaccinations, I would just go ahead and get them because, again, there's a little bit more uncertainty this year about what is going to happen next. And, you know, we know that these vaccines, again, are lifesavers. These are vaccines that I make sure my whole family gets because I don't want to end up in the hospital this year. I don't want to end up with a severe case of flu or COVID-19. And I just want to make sure that every family has that kind of access to vaccines.
Excellent. Anything else about these new recommendations or anything about this that you think our listeners should know about?
You know, I really want people to understand that the changes that have taken place recently, both with the CDC recommendations and FDA label changes, these were not based on new data. These were not based on some new piece of information that came out that found a problem with these vaccines. The data remains the same. The data shows that these vaccines have been profoundly helpful in having our country come out of the pandemic and in saving lives. And so for people out there who are thinking, you know, what is happening? Why are all of these recommendations changing? What I will say is that the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services will continue to follow the data. We are thinking first and foremost of the health of people in Michigan. And so our recommendations will be strongly driven by the data and by the science.
Separating fact from fiction when it comes to the latest on vaccines isn't easy, so we're here for you. Here's Dr. John Schwartzberg from UC Berkeley talking to KCBS in the Bay Area with the rules, what they're based on, the issues with them, and what to expect next.
Now there is a lot of confusion about who will be getting the new vaccine this fall. Under new federal rules, only seniors and people with underlying conditions would be eligible, leaving healthy adults and children in limbo. So let's talk about the new vaccine. First of all, I was told there is a new vaccine coming out next month, a new updated one. So first of all, is that true?
We expect there will be a new one coming out. That's what we're planning for. But we haven't had any final word yet from the Human Health and Services head, RFK Jr. And we haven't heard from the CDC yet about this.
All right. So who will be the eligibility? A lot of confusion about that. Getting the COVID vaccine during the pandemic, pretty much everyone was recommended to get it. Who is now? Where are the recommendations today?
Well, there's a lot of confusion because there's been a concerted effort by the head of HHS to confuse people. Right now, we expect that it will be available, as you said, for people 65 and over, and for people younger than that with underlying conditions that predispose them to a bad outcome. But when that new vaccine will be available and how people will get it remains up in the air. A lot of people disagree with the recommendations coming out of the advisory committee to the CDC under the aegis of Kennedy. For example, the American Academy of Pediatrics is urging moms and dads of children less than 4 years of age to please vaccinate their children if they haven't been vaccinated, because those kids are at increased risk for a bad outcome, roughly at the same level as people between the ages of 55 and 65.
All right. Also a question about if a vaccine is recommended, it's my understanding, then insurance companies cover it. If a vaccine is not recommended, and maybe the federal government would say, hey, you can go get the vaccine if you want, but if it's not recommended, do insurance companies have to cover the cost?
If it's not recommended by the CDC, then insurance companies do not have to cover the cost. That said, I think that there are many of the large insurance companies in the United States that will not follow the CDC recommendations and will follow, for example, the American Academy of Pediatrics and other societies as they make recommendations. So I'm hopeful that in spite of what we may hear from the CDC and Kennedy, insurance companies in the United States will do what's best, not only for the people who have insurance through them, that is giving them protection against COVID, but also insurance companies will be doing what's in their best interest. That is, preventing cases of COVID saves them money.
All right. I want you to talk about the COVID vaccine and whether it is safe and effective. Those are important words, and people, we need to keep talking about this. So you and your colleagues, I don't know if you can speak for all of them, but maybe a majority of them, talk about the vaccine itself.
Yeah, I think I can comfortably speak for the vast majority of infectious disease specialists, pediatricians, other doctors here in the United States. When I say that we have shown over and over and over again the safety and efficacy of the COVID vaccines, we've been given hundreds of millions of doses of this vaccine around the world, not just here in the United States. And we know that there are certainly side effects, like with any vaccine, but serious side effects, they're really, really rare. So they are safe and they are efficacious.
We just had a story yesterday about anyone who has had COVID possibly has artery damage. I don't know if you know anything about that, but it's just yet another. And there are people who still have long COVID. So it for anyone who says, oh, COVID, it's like the flu, not a big deal. What do you say?
Sure. COVID, fortunately, is not as big a deal as it was in 2020, 2021, and 2022, and spilling into 2023. And that's because practically everybody has some degree of immunity, either through vaccines or through having previously had the infection. That said, we still see complications from COVID. Sometimes people get hospitalized, and tragically, we're still seeing deaths from it. But we're also seeing long-term complications that you were referring to, and we're learning a lot more about those. We call this long COVID, but tucked into the words long COVID, we're talking about a variety of different problems people have, including what you mentioned, and that is damage to blood vessels. We know, for example, that people within the first year after having had COVID have a higher chance of having a stroke and a heart attack, because of damage to blood vessels. And the long-term consequences of this, we really don't know yet because we don't have long-term data yet.
Dr. David Higgins from the University of Colorado joined KCBS to discuss how the CDC and health providers are butting heads.
Yeah, so I'm seeing a lot of confusion among both parents and providers, and this is understandable because you have conflicting recommendations. You have one set of recommendations that has come from the CDC, and I want to add that those recommendations bypass the normal process that the CDC uses to make recommendations. And you now have this week new vaccine recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics, who have been making vaccine recommendations for almost a century and for the past several decades have been aligned with the CDC, but now the AAP recommendations are diverging from CDC.
So, doctor, what does this really mean for parents? I mean, oftentimes I feel like with things like this, it really comes down to trust. So if people are researching things themselves, a parent says, well, the American Academy of Pediatrics says this, the CDC says this, how does a parent make an informed decision?
Yeah, so I encourage parents to talk with their pediatrician. And I can say on behalf of other pediatricians, and I know the process that the American Academy of Pediatrics used to make these recommendations, they really took a good look at the most current evidence and really thought through what is best for the health of our children. And that's why they made the recommendations that they did.
I mean, are there other areas where parents can turn? I mean, if they're looking for information, I mean, it's one of those things where you think, well, the CDC, I should be able to look there, to look over here. Are there other organizations, I guess, you could turn to for some research, I guess?
Yeah, sure. So, and I recognize that a lot of parents are thinking, well, I don't have the opportunity to call my pediatrician anytime I have a question. And so when that's the case and you're looking for more information, I actually will guide them to healthychildren.org, which is an organization affiliated with the AAP, and they put out great information in a digestible format for parents about why vaccines are recommended for certain age groups, what their own child's risk may be, so that they can get good, reliable information.
Doctor, why are we seeing this change now?
So the change in recommendations is a recognition that we are not in the same place as we were in 2020 or 2021 or some of the prior years. What we're recognizing based on the most recent evidence is that children under the age of two are still being hospitalized and unfortunately even dying or having serious complications from COVID-19. They are at a high risk, and that's why the AAP recommends that those children are vaccinated. But we're also recognizing that children who are not as high a risk and are older, we do not have a universal recommendation for them. That is a decision that parents need to make, talking to their pediatrician about what their child's risk is. And the AAP has given a list of high-risk conditions that put their child at more risk, where parents should really, really consider giving them a vaccine.
Really valuable information. Dr. Higgins, thanks for weighing in.
So, are we coming to a point where we're about to need a prescription for a vaccine? WCCO's Jason DeRuscia has more.
Nationally, so much new information today. When it comes to the federal government and what appears to be massive uncertainty as to what is going on at the federal level with vaccines. So much uncertainty. CVS saying you're going to need a prescription to get a vaccine, which would be a massive change the way vaccines have been administered in the United States. To get some insight, we invite Dr. Mark Sala, the assistant professor of medicine. He is a vaccine expert who joins us from the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. What is going on with the head of the CDC being fired when it comes to what some are calling an attack on vaccines? Do you feel that that is what's happening at the federal level?
Well, I mean, it's really hard to advise our patients right now, isn't it? You know, we'll see people in clinic just earlier this week, and, you know, they're asking the question of, you know, what's coming this fall with vaccinations, and as early as Monday, couldn't really tell anyone anything. And then we get some news on new vaccine approval from the FDA, and at the same time, sort of this new situation where you can't really walk into a pharmacy and kind of get the vaccine you used to get last fall. So it's kind of a very mixed messaging, and you know, not the least bit difficult to really advise our patients on all of this right now. So, yeah, so clarity and, you know, maybe more accessibility is something we really want.
Yeah, the idea that you would need a vaccine prescription is something that is just, you know, we've never had that before. And I think people are wondering, certainly you're in the Chicago area here in Minneapolis. I think as parents get ready to send kids back to school, is that what you could see as being a new reality, that in general you might need a prescription to get the vaccines you need?
Well, it's particularly troubling because, you know, so if you go to your doctor for maybe your pulmonology clinic or whatnot, and you maybe need a pneumonia shot, I mean, that's, you know, we can give that in clinic here. But remember, with these COVID shots, I mean, since the beginning of the pandemic, you've gotten them from your local pharmacy. That's how the distribution was working. And so for that to sort of be turned on its head for this fall is quite abrupt. And so take me, for example, a healthcare professional exposed to COVID all the time. You know, I'm under age 65. So now I'm in a circumstance where I'm going to go to a pharmacy with a written prescription for a vaccine that I would have just walked in for before. And, you know, it's, and not the least of which is you take kids and everything else. Yeah, it's a change in practice, and it's going to cause a lot of confusion. So we have to be able to kind of tell our patients that this is going to be very different this year. And, you know, that's hoping that they're, you know, kind of able to get to us and kind of ask anyway if they're kind of aware of the situation.
Dr. Mark Sala is with us here on CCO. So, you know, obviously there are a lot of people that part of the reason they voted for Donald Trump for president was that they like the RFK Jr. message, the Secretary of Health and Human Services. He has been for years skeptical of vaccines, distrustful of public health agencies, especially during the COVID pandemic. But I don't know how many people would have thought, like, all right, that this skepticism over the COVID vaccine is going to extend to all vaccines. I think that that is it's just the uncertainty, I think, is where a lot of people end up here.
Yeah, I think there was a lot said at the time of, you know, the you know, during the nomination about promises given. And, you know, I think that I'm not sure that it should be too surprising that this is the road that would eventually be taken on vaccines, knowing kind of the situation, kind of historically what he's been for or against. I think at the end of the day, you really just have to go with the data. And that's just how you divide all these different opinions. So the vaccines do exactly what they're supposed to. And if you see an uptick in pediatric hospitalizations and ER visits this fall, you know, for respiratory viruses, I mean, this is sort of what you get. So, you know, I think we just always just have to go with the numbers to sort of make sure we can, you know, split the difference on people's different opinions on things, and that's really how you just have to settle with reality here.
Doctor, I gotta be honest, I'm worried that people were so politically divided. There was a time where you looked at the CDC and you looked at the medical community and said, well, these are scientists, like, this isn't the Republican science or the Democratic science, this is just science. So it makes me nervous where we're going.
Yeah, it's certainly kind of our part-time job now to sort of defend science and biomedical, you know, research and such. And that's not, I'm sure, where people thought we would be. Unfortunately, that has become our side job at this point for, you know, outreach and medical education and, you know, making sure the community is getting the information they need. And, you know, to be honest with you, this extends far beyond the simple vaccine question, which is complicated as it is. But I mean, mRNA was making trajectory toward anti-cancer therapies too. So you got to keep in mind that this has more reach than what you're thinking.
Yeah, that's right. That mRNA is what's really under attack, which has been really, in my view, and I'm no scientist, but that sort of technology to be able to try to fight cancer was and is one of the most promising medical interventions in history, if it played out the way it likely will, you know?
Yeah, again, I mean, you got to eventually just drown out the sound of different opinions and just go with the data and the medical literature, and I think that that's how you kind of find the truth with this.
And let's wrap things up with Chad Hartman at WCCO in Minneapolis discussing what's going on in Florida. Are more states about to stop mandating vaccines that have saved countless lives?
So right now, all 50 states have some level of vaccination requirements for kids entering school. What a novel concept. Let's try to protect our children, including, before we get this text, including those who are not fully up to speed, who may be immune compromised, right? The idea it only affects you, that's not correct. It affects others. And as the father of a child who's no longer a child, is 24, who is immune compromised, yeah, this rings home very powerfully for me.
The last couple hours, it's become a more novel concept than it was.
Yeah, because of what Florida's doing. Now, some states, actually all states, allow different exemptions. Those are going up, to me, way too high. Public school, you are also protecting the other children in there. Here's how many medical exemptions and religious exemptions I would allow. Zero. Would you? We're going to allow religious exemptions. Okay.
Religious, no. Medical, case by case?
I guess, yes. I need to be open, more open-minded than the medical. But again, if it ends up putting other kids in harm's way, how far do we go with that?
That's why I said case by case.
Right. Religious, zero. None. So this is all because of what Florida is saying with DeSantis trying to get his hand back in the MAGA wing. Governor Meatball, as Donald Trump called him, not me, Governor Meatball, you know, wearing his heels and his white boots. Remember the white boots?
Oh, yes.
My God.
That was even worse than the tan suit on Obama.
Oh, God, yeah. How did we recover from the tan suit? We haven't, actually. Then their Florida Surgeon General, I could give you a lot of controversies about him. So they made this announcement together. Do you remember, is it Latipo? Dr. Joseph Latipo, is that right? Here's what the Surgeon General of Florida said. Who am I to tell you what your child to put in your body? Your body's a gift from God. Is that really what we're going to say?
Who am I?
You're the Surgeon General, sir.
We're going to go to doctors. And you're going to look for advice and guidance and their scientific backed evidence through all the work they've done, the history, documentation in our country, other countries, when we've had vaccines, not had vaccines, and what we're going to have our doctors say, who am I to say? We had that from a talk show host here who was fired because he wouldn't give an opinion because all he would say was, who am I to say? I want my doctor to say, here's why I think you should get this vaccine. And then I'm not going to shoot you if you don't vaccinate your child. But if you put your child in perpetual harm that eventually does harm them, we do have laws where we do step in and protect the children.
Yes, we do.
We really are going to just have a Surgeon General with credibility say, who am I to say? And so much of this is driven by what? The COVID vaccine freakout still. No doubt, the COVID vaccine, no doubt, save millions of lives. No doubt. No doubt, the COVID vaccine, Dave Harrigan, did not live up to one of the biggest hypes of all, Once you get the vaccine, guess what? You're never getting COVID. Didn't come close to that.
Nope.
Did not come close.
And some people, it had adverse effects, certainly.
It is legit that there are folks who are not the same because of the vaccine, whether it's the heart issues or other issues. And anybody with decency wishes them kindness and hopes their body continues to recover and sends them empathy. We don't have a perfect healthcare system. We never will. But we've relied on doctors for decades, including the pandemic, when things are happening like this. Operation Warp Speed. Well, Operation Warp Speed, remind me, was that Harry Truman?
No, that was after him.
Was it Obama?
Still after him.
Oh, no, it was Donald Trump.
Donald John.
And bragged about it. And then one of the rare times when tens of millions of supporters said, Operation Warp Speed, get out of here. Now he's trying to wind his way through that, where he's trying to take credit, but recently in a Truth Social, he's calling out for companies like Pfizer and Moderna to tell the truth. Then we got somebody like Bobby Kennedy, who just is anti-vaccine. He's just anti-vaccine. And by the way, were there some mandates during the COVID vaccine that went too far? For sure. Absolutely. Do we keep kids out of school too long? For sure. Were they telling us the truth all the time about masks? Nope. They were not. But the people who think this was all hatched in China to get rid of Trump, or it did the chip in you, what?
It's just to make Fauci rich.
Yeah, it's just for Fauci and Osterholm to get rich. So now we really want to send our children with a mixed bag of who is going to get a vaccine and who is not. That's really where we're headed.
Yeah, and just further erode any faith in science and medicine and what those things can do to prevent things like the measles.
Do we really want to go back when measles is commonplace? Chickenpox. What else do we want to bring back?
Polio.
Just polio.
Let's get some polio.
Why not? Who doesn't miss seeing perfectly healthy individuals and then you see them 6 months later and they're having trouble walking and surviving? Again, as the father of a son with autism, with seizures, with an uncertain life expectancy, where I never take a single day of Quentin's life for granted. And we still don't know why he ended up with DIRC 1A. Am I concerned about medicines and who he's exposed to? Sure. I'm not saying you just have to be sheep. And no matter what, we take anything. We have thousands and thousands of pieces of scientists and doctors to back up how essential this is to keep debilitating, ending life, altering life significantly, illnesses away from our kids. And now we have one of the biggest states in the country, which is trying to kiss MAGA's ass and don't beat me out. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to say, Katie, bar the door. Who am I to even say you should have this? We'll leave it up to God. I hope there is a God. I hope there is a God that's taking care of all of us and gives us a chance. I hope if you don't believe in a God, you're just as well off. I want a doctor in science and scientists and other people in supervisor positions to give me a little bit more outside of Dave Harrigan. Who am I to say?
Who am I?
My God. Mike Osterholm. You won't be shocked. May not agree with this decision.
Huh. Didn't see that coming.
The reckless decision will needlessly endanger the health of children in Florida. It flies in the face of a mountain of evidence that clearly shows the benefits of vaccinating kids before they enter school and will make the state less safe to visit or live in. Every parent of a child who dies or is hospitalized with a vaccine-preventable disease will know exactly why. That's exactly right. That's where we're headed, because we've got to stick to an agenda. Among the texts, You're so intolerant of religion, it's sad. I'm intolerant of religion. No, I'm not.
Noticed about you?
I've never been left. Have you looked at the vaccine schedule for newborns? Yes, I have. I've covered the story. I have three children. I'm thankful that my wife was able to pick and choose which vaccines we gave to our children when they were younger. If you want to give your kids a vaccine available, power to you. This isn't stopping you in any way from what vaccines you're giving your child. None.
I was thankful for doctors and my pediatrician who said, hey, here's a good idea.
Yeah.
Give your child these.
Is your wife a doctor? If she is, congratulations. I hope she's just not on her own picking and choosing.
Did the research.
I do not want to give a single religious exemption for a public school. I don't. Because where do we draw the line? I don't want to deny you your beliefs of your religion or your non-religion. But if I believe from the overwhelming amount of science, which has been out there for decades and decades and decades, that your decision not to vaccinate your child at a public school is going to jeopardize others, then no religious exemption. You want to go to other charter private schools and do that with their policies? More power to you. I'm not requiring in everyday life you have to do this. But with kids in public schools, funny. We've been doing it for decades, every single state. And now we're trying to just whatever Donald says, whatever MAGA says, we're going to keep doing that. More text. Herd immunity is being completely glossed over. Reducing vaccine coverage will harm vulnerable babies, older adults, people who are immune compromised. Yeah. It's home because of my son. Chad, I agree with you. Getting rid of vaccine mandates is downright stupid and ridiculous. But if kids are getting vaccines, other kids aren't, are the ones without the vaccine going to protect them? It depends. It depends. And Jason, you know this. There are many kids who will be vaccinated, who will be exposed to other kids who are not fully vaccinated, and they will be fine.
Yep.
They will be fine.
Sure.
Others.
Nothing's 100%.
Nothing's 100%. But schools are filled with a wide variety of children there. And to just defy this because people are still angry about COVID, which is a lot of this to me, is dangerous and infuriating and also not surprising.
Yeah, I think there's a selfishness where, and you see this in many areas of parenting right now, but it's especially popular in this arena when you're talking about like the fitness influencer type folks, the we're too fat, the MAHA kind of crowd. Like, there is some validity to that stuff, but like, I don't understand how we've come to a place where we think the 0.00001% chance that your child could have some adverse effect outweighs the much larger chance that, like,
dramatically higher.
You're infecting other people, or you're putting your own. If you want to put your own kid at risk, I guess that's your choice. But
to a certain level, right?
To a certain level.
Yep.
I don't know. I was thinking about this today. I'm like, what happened to us?
What happened to us is exactly right. And like the number of texts are like, well, because this was wrong with COVID, these are the same scientists you're going to believe? First of all, the data is overwhelming.
Yeah,
that the vaccine saved millions of people. Yeah. They didn't get everything right. But because they didn't get everything right during an unfolding pandemic, you're now done with them on decades of science? That makes sense?
And most of those vaccines, the vaccines that are part of the schedule, are not the mRNA technology.
No.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.